Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 32. Amen. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. Luke 22:54-62 read, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. And said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I'm not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Lord, please help me bring a word like only you can. Help me bring a word even in my frayed nature, even in my sinful nature, in my fallen nature. Allow me in my humanistic ways to bring a word of divine nature to permeate the hearts of your people and not condemn them, yet convict them. Lift them up and send them on your way as better people. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. I want to speak to you from the subject, the reset button. Look to your neighbor and tell them to hit the reset button. Yeah, hit the reset button. It's 2020. Forget all the stuff in 2019. In fact, forget some of the stuff in 2020. I know sometimes it's a short month, but sometimes it feels like a long month. If you ever just stretch the rubber band, you can keep stretching it, Sister Julia. But if you stretch it too far, it'll break. When enough pressure is applied to anything, at a point, it will break. The problem is that no one really knows the exact point at which the object will break. It all depends on the elasticity of the material. You can begin to feel it, but you really don't know. The Bible even implies that God has a breaking point. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This is to say that God will usher grace for a while, but after a while, even he has a breaking point. The disturbing thing is, Sister Bumble, that he does not say at what point God's grace runs out. If I knew the exact point, I could be confident that whatever I do, I will be okay because I know at what point I need to stop. He doesn't tell us what point. Therefore, there is an uneasiness that keeps me wondering. Most of us do not know our own limitations. When you do not know your limitations, what your limitations are, you are not ready to deal with a battle. Life sometimes becomes a great battle and sometimes becomes torturesome. I know it is not many of you all out there that understand that life isn't always easy. But if you can take some notes from the mature adults, they'll tell you just keep on living. Some of us have never been to the breaking point. Therefore, this sermon may become irritating to you because life has not dealt you a hand that causes you to doubt why God even has you here. Jesus understood human limitations. After they had taken communion, Jesus told them that one of them was going to be offended by him that night. The disciples had just passed the Judas test. All of them were wondering what else could go wrong. They were still excited about being passing to Judas and not being Judas. Jesus told the disciples that one of them was a devil a few nights before. All of them asked, "Lord, is it I?" Now they had passed this test, and Jesus was blowing the high point of their celebration. You know how you take one test, and next week teacher want to give you another test? Can I get celebrate having an A on this test? My goodness, sister so-and-so, we got a test again. You know how it is when you pass the test. You don't want another one. You want to run out and be like, "Yeah, I made an A." Jesus went on to say that you are going to deny me before the night is over. Peter rose up and said, "Not I. Not I." The same Peter that cut off ears, the same Peter that walked on water, he said, "No, I'm going to make it through the night." But have you ever been through a long night? I know God says weeping may endure for a night and joy comes in the morning, but some of us have been in night for at least more than 3 days, right? Some of us have been in night for a week. Some of us have been in night for a year. Some of us have been in night for 10 years. And you're like, "Lord, if you say weeping may endure for a night and joy comes in the morning, how long would this night last?" Peter didn't know himself. The vast majority of us do not know ourselves. We do not know our own limitations, and we make rash, radical statements. People that do not know themselves become critical of other people. They don't understand how you broke. They begin to ask you, "How did this happen? Why did you take that if you was really a Christian?" They want to send you emails and scriptures and text messages and motivational, emotionally detached sermonettes to tell you why you should be able to do all you can do and just stand, because they themselves have never been tested. They've never had the pressure applied to their lives in just the right place, and they don't believe that they can break. But there is a breaking point. Oh, yeah, yeah. I would love to tell you that when you go to the breaking point that you won't break. I would love to tell you that true Christians, true believers don't break. If I could preach that without going against my foundational theological principles, we would be able to sell enough CDs to pay this building off without touching the tithes and offerings. People want to hear how not to break. There's a point that you will break in anything. Even though mother loves little Johnny, you go to jail this time, mama ain't coming. Come on, somebody. Husband continued to tip out on that woman. After a while, she's going to get tired. And one day, you might not want to eat them grits. Oh, yeah. There is a point. Ask Brother Green. Ask him. There's a point that we all have, that if we get pushed to it, that if the boss comes out here and clowns me one more time, if she come out here and knocks this chip off my shoulder, if this waitress passed me one more time without acknowledging me, I'm going to stick my foot out. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's how it ought to be. But the reality is we all have a breaking point. Even that quiet person that keeps to themselves, and after a while, you push them too far. In fact, if you look at the news, that's how most murders start off. They was quiet and kept to themselves. Somebody done pushed them. Instead, in the Bible, most of the mighty men of God went through a breaking point. They went through times in their lives where they just wanted to just throw their hands up in the air and quit. Moses did many acts of valor and called 10 plagues through God on the Egyptians, called frogs and called plagues and called all these different things. Walked across the Red Sea after he stuck his rod up and the Red Sea split, threw his rod down and it became a serpent and ate up the other serpents that the wizards made. But when the Jews got on his last nerve, he said, "Lord, if you love me, let me die." Elijah called fire down on the water-soaked stone altar, stood up against 450 prophets of Baal all by himself, killed them and everything. But when Jezebel said she wanted to kill him, he found himself under a juniper tree asking God to die so he could be with his fathers. Job talked real tough. "Naked I came in the world, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But as the battle got worse, he cursed the day he was born and formed in his mother's womb and cursed the breast that nursed. And Paul did mighty works. He would walk by and people would put their people out there who were sick and let his shadow cast down and they would be healed. They would take handkerchiefs from Paul and they would be healed because they touched him. Demons would say, 'Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?' But as he got tired, he said, 'I
was pressed above measure so that I was despaired of life. Jacob was faithful man of God, wrestled with God and won the battle, walked away with only a limp. But when he received so much bad news, finally he got the last message, hooked his head down and went into depression. There is a breaking point in your life that is part of the process. A breaking point that helps you develop your strength and strengthen your faith. It is only when you face the reality of your human limitations that you are able to experience the true power of God. As long as life continues to deal you things that you can handle, you will always in a pseudo fashion worship yourself because you will feel that you are strong and indestructible. But once you become splintered and hurt and confused and discombobulated and come face to face with limitations of yourself, you will begin to talk like Israel. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have been swallowed up. Can I talk to you for a minute? Jesus never said to Peter that you wouldn't be strong enough. He said, Peter, you're gonna fail. But he said, I know you're gonna fail. But he said, I pray that your faith don't faint. Y'all better watch out. Faith without works is dead, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But can I tell you something? It's not you that God is worried about. He's worried about your faith. Oh, I stepped out here in the water because I got all these inbox messages from women, and I started doing this trafficking thing. I don't know nothing about trafficking, but God told me to do it, and I began to walk, but I was worried about it. But the thing about it is I don't know what I'm doing, but in faith, God began to send me speakers and different women that have different skill sets. And it doesn't matter. I don't have the skill sets. I don't have the knowledge. But if I just keep walking in faith and my faith does not faint, I'll be all right. Even when you mess up and fall, we all fall short of the glory of God. God will use you with your messed up self. Can I tell you something? My life messed up just like your life. You messed up just like me, but God would still use you because he already told you that we all fall short of the glory of God. And he said that if you think you're perfect, you're lying. The problem is we think we're perfect because we do a sin that we can tolerate. And we categorize sin and we act like all sin is not the same. But with God, all of them are the same. But see, because God can't use people who never fail, who never got dirty every now and then, who never done something wrong, who have never made a mistake, because he cannot use people because they've never had a breaking point in their life. Those who've not come to the breaking point tend to be judgmental, gossips, and busybodies, stick their nose in other people's business. But if you've ever been broken or been to the broken place, it's a humbling experience. If you've ever been through a breaking point, it changes your personality. If you ever have been through a breaking point, it changes your disposition. Have you ever been to a point where you went against your rules, your own rules, your own standards, your own pet peeves? Have you ever done something you thought you'd never do? Have you ever done something you liked but didn't like what you were doing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't hear me. Have you ever had a breaking point where you were uncertain of everything, every decision, and everybody around you? You weren't sure of yourself. You weren't sure of your friends. You weren't sure of your environment. You weren't even sure of the Lord. Peter thought he was not going to do anything wrong. He told Jesus he must be mistaken because he was too strong to do something like that. Ain't it funny how we think we know more than God? We think we know more than the Word. And the Word tells us, Sister Reynolds, that we all fall short of the glory of God, but we always act like we're going to be perfect and never fall. First pride, then the fall, because you thought you could do it. But it's amazing how the Bible geographically described this ordeal. Peter and the Lord. Look, as the night progresses and the pressure increases, you begin to see the decline in the relationship between Peter and Jesus. If you read carefully, you will notice the subtle things. See, as the pressure begins, you begin to see Peter fall further and further behind Jesus. As they were guiding him, as a soldier was guiding him to judgment, he began to follow Jesus, but afar off. He still comes to church, but he's following afar off. There's danger of not walking closely with God. God doesn't like it when we follow him at a distance. He says, if you draw nigh unto me, I do what? Draw nigh unto you. I will be your God and you shall be my people. You will be surprised about the number of people that come to church but follow him afar off. Secret Christians, undercover agents with covert lifestyles. And when the pressure's on, they can go either way. They don't make comments too strong to anything. They don't get involved with anything. They won't join any committee. They won't come to Sunday school. They won't go to any young adult trips. They won't go to any mature adult. They won't come to Tuesday Bible study. They attend church, and you will see them in the same pew. They follow, but they follow afar off. They love the Lord, but in secret. When they pray, they don't want you to see them praying for their food at the table, so they just try to say it with their eyes open. Sister Jennifer Peter stopped and warmed himself by the fire, warmed himself at the enemy's fire. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to decide this day whom you shall serve. You have to be careful of where you draw your strength from when you're under pressure, Samson. Yeah. When you're not under pressure, you will stay away from certain individuals. But when the pressure comes, Peter began to get comfortable with the warmth of the secular. Some of us cannot get out of certain dilemmas because we keep compromising our faith in God and putting it in a woman, putting it in a man, putting it in a car, putting it in money, putting it in a career, putting it in a pastor. Put it in church. Can I talk to you for a while? Stop putting your faith in Newbies Grove. Stop putting your faith in Pastor Maxwell. Stop putting your faith in Joe Osteen, because the minute we fall, your faith get crumbled. But your faith is not supposed to be in me. Your faith is not supposed to be in your deacon. Your faith is not supposed to be in your trustee. Your faith is not supposed to be in Newbies Grove. Your faith is supposed to be in Jesus. He's the only one with unchanging hands. We all flawed. We all messed up. We all fickle. We all got some type of vice in our life that we need to get together, but you all continue to put all your faith in men and women of God, and if they don't fall just like you. Oh, stop putting your faith in everything. In fact, you know who you really need to stop putting your faith in? Yourself. Yeah, Peter thought he was all that in a bag of chips. He done walked on water, Brother Long. He done tried to cut a soldier's head off, but missed it and cut his ear off. Jesus told him that he was a rock that he was going to build a church on. And Peter had told the man, silver gold I ain't got, but this is what I give you. I give you that man stood up and walked. Peter had done many miracles in Jesus' name. He began to get comfortable. Peter, or a disciple handpicked by God, but he finds himself warming himself by the fire. Some of us have slipped into an apathetic stance in our faith. We don't pray. I know I mess with the choir. It's a song that sing like this, but I don't ever let them sing it because I don't need no negative song from the pulpit, but a song goes something like this, and don't sing it. We don't pray like we used to. We don't sing like we used to. We don't preach like we used to. We don't walk like we used to. People have noticed that any inconvenience in church upsets you now. When the preacher was long a few months ago, you would get excited. Now it gets on your nerves. Now a few more people have joined the church and someone is in your self-proclaimed assigned seat. Now you got an attitude. Now you're talking sideways. The same person that would go to the Redskins game, sit on 64 in turtleneck speed traffic for 4 hours, park all the way in the back of the parking lot. In fact, some of us go to the dirt parking lot and have to walk almost 2 miles to go get to a seat that's way up in the rafters in the nosebleed section that we can see better on TV, knowing the Redskins gonna lose. At least go to a game that might be victorious. But get upset when the parking lot is packed at church. Get mad if the tithes and offerings go too long, but you would drive all the way to Maryland to see a losing team. The devil is a lie. Nobody noticed that your priorities mess up. You still carry your Bible, but you care because you got these cases that accessorize your heels. Oh, yeah. And she zips it up. I saw you. I saw you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I ain't messing with nobody. I'm in enough trouble as it is. You follow the Lord. But like Peter, you following afar off. And this is when we run the risk of coming to our breaking point. The odd thing about the scene with Peter is that he could see Jesus and Jesus could see him. But Peter was surrounded by the secular, warming himself with the worldly resources. He had become a neutralized soldier. See, Satan wants to neutralize you. See, he wants to make you ineffective. He will either dilute you or pollute you. He will dilute you and cause you to lose your strength, or he will pollute you with so much foreign matter that you begin to cease being what you are meant to be. That is why you have to be careful of who you talk to, because they will pollute you. Stop hanging around people that are always bringing you bad news. I heard this, and I heard that, and I heard it. Can you ever ask yourself, now every now and then, I might hear something and say, Brother Marcus, they said this, and help you be careful. And Brother Marcus may say something to me, but if he say something to me every week, I'm like, how you hear this all the time? Some folk always just bringing you bad news because the devil has them in your circle to make sure they bring you mess and pollute your spirit and get you upset so you can't fight the fight. Can I tell you something? Samson was real strong until he let Delilah vex him to death. The problem is if you keep letting stuff vex you and you keep letting stuff wear you down, the fall is coming because you got too much on your plate and you allowing everybody to bring this negative energy to you. Stop listening to them, I heard, saints. A little girl looked at Peter and said, that's one of them. Uh-huh. That's him. The funny thing, Sister Julia, is he was trying to hide, but he couldn't hide. Because there's something about it, Sister Gloria, when you have an experience with God. Come on, somebody. His scent won't leave you. And you be in the club trying to drop it like it's hot. Whoa, Lord. And you run into a praise dance because God has delivered you. You can't even cuss right. You say you mother, father, sister, brother. You don't even know how to cuss right no more. But you keep trying to be something you not because God has already delivered you. And you just keep doing the same old mess out of habit. You don't even want to do it no more. You just do it because you're trying to keep a part of yourself that needs to die. Oh, she heard him. And I know we got this sex trafficking thing coming up, but some women will say, I can still smell my perpetrator on me because they can't get the smell out of their mind because it was so horrific. But when you have a drastic change with the Lord, you can't give his smell off of you. Come on, somebody. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. You better understand that they knew who Peter was because the anointing was still on him, even though he was doing stupid backsliding stuff. Some of y'all are in the club smoking marijuana and can't stop saying Bible verses because God has got a hold over you. Some of y'all keep trying to rap, but you keep going and singing Lecrae because the Lord has a hold on your life now. And when you experience God, he will never let you go. I'm trying to talk to somebody, believe me. They pointed to Peter. Peter said, I don't know him. Oh, he compromised his own goals. He went against his own beliefs. He did something he thought he would never do because he put too much faith in himself. He said, God, I'm gonna be all right, but you need to stop acting like you can be all right and look toward the hills from which cometh your help. Stop thinking that you can do everything on your own. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's not you. He's the one who began a good work in you, and he's the one that will finish it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that guides you by the light of his path. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one that said, if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort you. It's God that begins the work, and it's God that finishes. It's amazing. I asked Chief Drew this morning, a lot of times we got to learn how to hold ourselves accountable, but what if a police officer is speeding? How do they apprehend themselves? How did they get himself a ticket? God sent three people to ask him the question, did he know him? Do you remember when you used to praise God? Do you remember when you used to read your word every day? Do you remember when you used to ask God about things you ask everybody else now? Do you remember when you used to put your faith in God and not those men or those women? The devil always increases the amount of pressure in your life as the distance between you and the Lord increases. The cock crowed three times after he denied him three times. The cock was a sign of his distance that had been created between him and the Lord. The amount of people you talk to instead of God. The music you listen to instead of worship. The shows you watch instead of putting a sermon up. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody for a minute. In the mix of all that was going on with Jesus, even though he was getting beat to a bloody pulp, he still looked on Peter. I don't care how busy you get. I don't care how crazy life is. I don't care what's going on in the world. God is still paying you attention. And don't you think that God is not paying you attention even though he's silent. In the book of Esther, God's name is never mentioned at all, but he is in the midst of the background the whole book. Esther never would have been able to do it without Mordecai. God was in the midst of the situation the whole time. So God may be silent in your life, but I promise you, baby, just like the poem with the footprints in the sand, you may see only one set of footprints, but it was because God has been carrying you all the way. You wondering how you made it and you not even praying. You wondering how you got the job and you didn't even interview. You wondering how God worked out the situation and you still ain't got evicted even though you ain't got house rent, because God has sustained you the whole time. He's been there with you. He was with you in the jail cell. He was with you in the divorce. He was with you in the breakup. He was with you when you got bad news. He was with you all the time. God has never let you go. And he reminded Peter when the cock crows three times, you would have already denied me. Peter remembered what Jesus told him about denying him, and he wept bitterly. How well do you know yourself? Do you really know what is in you? See, some of us think we got all the answers, but if you just keep on living, life will show us that we have a breaking point like everybody else. Oh, life will shut your mouth. You will be talking about him and talking about her and talking about her, but you keep on living. Life has a way of making you curl up your finger and put it in your pocket because you understand that I've been through a breaking point and I'm not quick to judge anybody around me anymore. Life would do that to you. Life will cure your judgment, baby. Life will cure you from looking down on people. See, there's a little difference between Peter and Judas. That's why God said, let the wheat grow up with the tares. Because sometimes you try to tear down a tare and it may be wheat. Oh, yeah, don't hear me. Peter denied Jesus and Judas betrayed Jesus, but really it was the same. The only part was Peter eventually repented and Judas killed himself. We all fall short of the glory of God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. When you get to a breaking point, you will begin to question every decision you've ever made, and every person you are surrounded by. Pressure will make you question everything. And truth be told, sometimes God allows the pressure in your life to make sure that you get to a point where you know you can't handle it, and you allow him to take over the situation. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, because you got it all together. Yeah, you still walking on water. Yeah, you still cutting off ears. You still the rock that was chosen by Jesus. But if you keep on living, just a few chapters down the line, Peter, you're going to run into something you can't handle. Peter wasn't there when Jesus got beat to a pulp. Peter wasn't there when Jesus was on the cross. Peter wasn't there when they stripped him naked. Peter wasn't there when he carried the cross of the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Peter wasn't there when they put nails in his hand and in his leg. Peter wasn't there when they put the crown of thorns on his head. Peter wasn't there. You can't count on people when they at the breaking point. I was originally going to call this message the breaking point, but when the Holy Spirit took me to Mark 16 and 7, and what the angel says in the text brought me hope for all of us at the breaking point. Fallen people. Messed up people. Unemployed people. Oh, I began to look at Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Brother Allen. And it said, but go your way. Tell the disciples, and who? And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as said unto you. Look here. The angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter had denied him. Peter had messed up. But what I believe that Jesus was doing was making sure he let Peter know, I'm going to give you a reset button, baby. I need you to know he didn't call Bartholomew by name. He didn't call Andrew by name. He didn't call Philip by name. He didn't call Matthew by name. He didn't call Timothy by name. He didn't call Thomas by name. He didn't call Judas by name. He didn't call James by name. But he said, tell the disciples and Peter. Come on, somebody. I need you to know God is trying to call your name in 2020. I know you messed up in 2019, but God is saying hit the reset button. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Jesus said, he who began a good work in you shall finish it. I know your business failed in 2019, but cast your business on the other side and watch God give you an overflowing blessing that you won't have room to receive. I know you were sick last year, but I need you to hit the reset button. Go back and see your doctor and say, doctor, I want another report because God has told me that I'm healed. Go back and look at your relationship and watch God make it better. Y'all better watch out. Hey, he will. He will. Hit the reset button. I know your business messed up, but God will work it out. I know your marriage falling apart, but God can work it out. He will. Hit the reset button. All it takes is a button, push it, and it's called prayer. Hey, push it, pray until something happens. Hit the reset button. He will make a way out of no way. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I know the business didn't work. I know the organization didn't work. I know the job didn't work out. I know the move didn't quite go the way you wanted it to. But here, hit the reset button. Even when you deny Jesus, you didn't deny him before. In the time we sin, we deny Jesus. Peter wasn't there at the cross. Peter wasn't there when they put the crown of thorns in his head. Peter wasn't there when they put the nails in him. Peter wasn't there when he was carrying the cross. Peter wasn't there when they locked him up. Peter wasn't there when they said, give us a bar Jesus instead of, give us the other man instead of giving us Jesus. He wasn't there when Caesar and Pontius Pilate wiped their hands of it. He wasn't there, nowhere around it. He wasn't at the foot of the cross. He wasn't nowhere near the cross. But God said, go find the disciples and Peter. See, can I tell you something? Jesus already know you're going to fail. That's why without faith it's impossible to please him, because even when you fall, just don't let your faith die. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It's not you that do it. It's your faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, your ego can be big as I don't know what, and it'll still fail. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as long as I got faith and keep on walking, oh, y'all don't hear me? See, the problem is when you fall, you stay down. That's the whole problem. You fall, then you don't want to turn. Oh, Jesus, I done messed up my whole life. They ain't going to never be able to do that. I ain't going to church. I can't show my face in there, Jesus. I done messed up, Jesus. I ain't doing it. Jesus, don't make me go to church tomorrow. I can't do it, Lord. I don't want to preach. I don't want to teach. I don't want to praise the Lord. I didn't mess up. They saw it. They saw what I did. Oh, Jesus.
David would mess up
in a moment and in the same moment get up and praise God. I know I messed up, God. I'm flesh and blood. Let me get up and get my life back together and went out and did what he was supposed to do. But you, oh, Lord. Faith. See, God, that was a scripture, Sister Allen. That was a scripture in the Bible where Jesus took the mud and he took the dirt and he spit in it. He made mud cakes and he put mud on the man's eyes. And I swear, one day I'm a priestess. Can you serve with mud in your face? Can you still keep following God even when you mess up and understand you frayed and you messed up and you will never be perfect? Will you still serve God even when you cut somebody out and you do wrong? Will you still serve God even when you do sins you thought you would never do? Will you still serve God and understand that you flawed and if you could do it on your own, he never would have walked up the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. He never would have let them put nails in his hand to bring the fruition of a soteriological dispensation, that there'd be no shedding of blood, there'd be no midst of sin. Do you understand that he never would have went through all that stuff if you could have done it on your own? You got to get to the point and say, I know I messed up. I know I failed. I know I'm flawed. I know I'm sinful. But my Jesus said, he who began a good work in me shall finish it. He didn't say I would finish it. He said he would. He said he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said he'll give me a good measure blessing. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. He told me he would do it, not me. He said he blesses me for his name's sake, not my name. I'm so glad that he don't praise me, that he don't bless me for my name. Because sometimes I mess my name up, but Jesus said, I bless you for my name's sake, for the name of Jesus, because he wants you to look good. He wants you to have favor. He wants you to look different. Even though Peter was warming himself by the shackle of fire, the lady knew that he was a man of God because the anointing was still on him. I know I keep talking about men, but can I talk to some women? Even though you messed up, even though you've been relationship and relationship, even though you got an issue, but I do need you to know something. Even a lady with the issue of blood, he dried up her blood and covered up with his. See, this thing. Let me calm down and say this. I'm gonna get out of here. You sinful. God don't look at you. God despises what we do. He turned his back even on his son when he became sin, even though he knew no sin. He don't look at you. He don't look at you. He don't look at you. He don't look at me. He don't look at you. He don't look at you. He looks at the precious blood of Jesus. And because you are covered with the blood of Jesus and you're covered with forgiveness, he's able to bless you even in your flawed state. Peter, in his messed up state, still kept serving God. Paul said there was a thorn in his side he couldn't get rid of, but he kept on serving. Jacob was a swindler and a hustler, but he kept on serving. Jeremiah was a crybaby, couldn't stop crying, but he kept on serving. Isaiah cussed you out all the time, but he kept on serving. Cussed so much, God had to take hot coals and burn his tongue. Gideon was doubtful, but he kept on. Noah couldn't leave the E&J or the Christile alone, but he kept on serving. Abraham couldn't stop lying about his wife, acting like she was his sister, but he kept on serving. Moses couldn't stop cussing folk out and couldn't get his speech together, but he kept on serving. Whatever your flaw is, keep serving. Can I tell you a secret? You will never be perfect, no way. You will never be perfect. Serve him with your flawed self. Serve him with your messed up self. You will never be sinless, but you do need to sin less. All right? Don't be walking around tomorrow with the same amount of sins you had in your pocket today. At least take one of them out. Don't try to hold on all of them. Just the empty one out the pocket every now and then. You ain't got to pick all them bones back up. Let it stay there. Let it fall. Seriously. On a serious note, God has forgiven you. God has blessed you. He's given you his precious son and covers you with the blood of Jesus. And even though you messed up, he still want to use you. He'll hit the reset button. And you can hit the reset button a whole bunch of times because his blood never fails. And there's a fountain that'll never run out. And it'll never lose its power. Is there one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, that want to hit the reset button, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may come right now. Is there one? Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one that say, I need a church home, I need somewhere where the elders, the ministers, the pastor can pray for me? Is there one? Is there one?